Amen. Great song this morning. No name on earth. I trust that Jesus means that to you. I want you to notice this morning, we're going to look at the greatest gospel discourse in the scriptures. Nicodemus was one of the Sanhedrin. I want to draw your attention. In the early days of the Jewish nation, each little village would have their own 23-member Sanhedrin. But this Sanhedrin, the 70-member plus the high priest, was considered to be the Supreme Court of the country. They settled issues just like our Supreme Court does. And so in this passage, this gentleman, Nicodemus, is a very well-educated, very wealthy, but also on top of that, very confused religious leader. I think there's a lot like this. You don't have to be a religious leader to be confused. Confused about what? How to get to heaven. I want you to notice, if you would, in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So here he is. He's supposed to have the answers. And you'll notice in verse number 2, the same came Jesus by night. The reason he came by night is because he's supposed to have the answers. Can you imagine being on the highest religious court in the land and not knowing how to get to heaven? You're supposed to be able to share with everyone how to get to heaven, and you can't. And you're stirred up, and all of a sudden, you see this one called Jesus, and every village he goes into, they bring all the sick people, lay them at his feet, and they all get up and walk away, and they're all healed. He's heard the stories of Jesus going to Martha and Mary's village and raising their brother from the dead. He's heard the stories of Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. He's heard the stories of blind Bartimaeus calling out, and Jesus, "What can I do for you?" He says, "I'd like to see." And he goes away seeing. To his knowledge, there's no one that ever went to Jesus that didn't get healed. And so hence come the question. Verse number 2, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." And the reason Jesus did heal was to authenticate himself, was so that people knew he had the power of God in his hands and his words and his touch and his clothing. And notice, if you would, "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now, today we don't have the gift of healing, because if any man did have it, he would go to a hospital and empty it. Proof that he's from God. But nobody had that. But that's exactly what Jesus did. They didn't have hospitals of the day, so he would go to a village and they'd everybody hear, "Jesus is here, Jesus is here." They all go get their sick folks, bring them on their beds, crippled folks, lepers, they'd bring them in, get them around him, and he would heal every one of them. And the Bible says everyone was healed. So he became famous all over the place. And so this Nicodemus says, he's got to be from God. He's got to be a prophet of God. He's got to be a man of God. He can tell me how to get to heaven. So notice, if you would, in verse number 3, he doesn't ask, come out straight out and ask it, "How do I get to heaven?" I think he's ashamed because he doesn't know how. But notice the answer that Jesus gives to him. In verse number 2, he says, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he's saying, you've got an answer. And in his heart, how do you get to heaven? And so then Jesus gives this great answer. Jesus answered and said to him, even though he didn't straight out ask, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So you can see what he wanted, the answer to the question in his heart was. Jesus goes right to the question in his heart. And says, "You want to know how to get to the kingdom of heaven?" He said, "I'll tell you how. You must be born again." Now, Nicodemus is all confused now. You're going to see, first off, his confusion. He's confused because Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is supposed to be like this. Heal people, make a big difference, preach. Throngs would come to him. But he's wondering, is this really the Messiah? He's confused. And you know, maybe today you're confused. You're here. You've come to church. You're a religious person. But you don't know that if you died this moment, you'd go to heaven. You're just like Nicodemus. Only he was supposed to know. Maybe you're not a religious leader, so you get a little grace on that. You're just a normal person that maybe your parents went to church, but you didn't listen when you went, or you were young, weren't paying attention. And so you haven't put it all together and make it crystal clear. How does a person get to heaven? Jesus said, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see heaven. And so you can begin to see clearly what his desire was. And Nicodemus said, born again? That's the first time it's ever mentioned. How in the world can a man be born again? He can't enter into his mother's womb the second time. What are you talking about, Jesus? And that's the reason verse number 9 says, Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? Now, you're going to see that he's confused for quite a period of time. You'll notice he realizes or he hears the words that he's condemned. Look, if you would, in verse number 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I can imagine as Jesus there saying the Son of Man pointing to himself must be lifted up. Now, I want you to watch this. That whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So he says, you can have eternal life, but you've got to believe in the Son of Man that he's going to die for you. Now, notice if you would over in verse number 18, or verse number 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus clearly is telling him, you need to be saved. I know that's why you're asking me. I know why that's why you came to me by night. And so I'm going to tell you how to be saved. But he says, notice verse number 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So he looks right at Nicodemus and says, you're condemned right now. You're hopeless right now. And maybe you're hopeless right now. You may look at it and say, I don't think Nicodemus thought it was like, I'm sure it was like, what? I'm a member of the Sanhedrin. What are you talking about? Hopeless. What are you talking about? Condemned already. He said, because you haven't believed in the Son of God, that I am he. And so, you know, Nicodemus is running these things in his mind. How can you be born again? No, simply what Jesus was saying is you're born once as a person, human. You have to be born physically before you can be born spiritually. Born again is the day you come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I put my faith and trust in you. I believe in you. I know that you can save me. And I know that you're the Son of God. And I'm asking you to take your payment on the cross and apply it to my debt of sin. Now, Nicodemus was going to have to be saved if he got saved this day by putting his faith in the words of Christ, that he was going to die for him. That's in verse 14 and 15. He said, I must be lifted up so that you might be saved. So he had to put his faith and trust that this was the Messiah. And keep in mind, he's a religious leader in Judaism and he's having a hard time with it. So notice what he's doing. Look at chapter 7 of John, verse number 40. There's a divided opinion about Jesus. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. Some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Now, there's the real issue, the sticking point. You can know that Nicodemus and all the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin had looked through the scriptures to find out anything that would give them a tip on who the Messiah was. And they figured out he's got to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, Micah 5:2. So that's why it says, but some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? He can't come out of Galilee. He's got to be born in Bethlehem. But nobody checked the records. They just heard that he was from Galilee, which he was. Now, I'm going to reveal something to you, but you better not tell anybody because I'll just be silent about it. How many of you know where I was born? Okay. How many of you know where I'm from? I'm from Texas, but I was born in Oklahoma. Shawnee, Oklahoma, a little town right outside of Oklahoma City. I was there, just born there, and we moved to Texas as fast as we could get there. That's what happened. And so I don't know, have any memory of Oklahoma except I'd go to my grandparents in the summers and ride horses and fish and all that. But I love Texas. I grew up in Texas. Texas is all that I knew. So they said, he's from Galilee. He's not from Bethlehem. He's from Galilee. And so notice what happens. Look down in, if you would, in verse number 46, the officers answered, never man spake like this. This man has power in his words. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Are you tricked too? Are you confused? How many of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. You got to know the scriptures, you're just cursed. Well, notice what happens. Who speaks up? Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them. Now, I don't believe he's saved yet. He's still confused, but he's desperately looking. So notice this. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Doesn't his actions count for something? In verse 52, and they answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look. For out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went into his own house. They had this answer to silence everybody. He's from Galilee. Can't be the Messiah. So can you imagine? His confusion even gets greater. How can he be the Messiah? But I know he's raised people from the dead. I've seen him heal people. When I talked to him at night, he told me I could be born again. What's he talking about? He said, I got to believe on him. But he also said, I'm already condemned. And if you're here today and you've not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're condemned right now. You're on your way to hell with no hope for heaven. Now, the only difference between someone going to hell and to heaven is this one thing. It's a simple time when you realize you're a sinner. And you got alone with the Lord, or you got in some place where you looked up to the Lord. It's just between you and the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, I don't deserve to go to heaven. And I'm a sinner and I know it. But I want you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sin and wash my sin away. You see, he says, look over here, take your Bible and turn to John chapter 3. Notice, if you would, John chapter 3, the great verse, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That statement was spoken to Nicodemus. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I'm sure he's pointing and saying, look, I'm him. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Nicodemus, you don't have to go to hell. You don't have to perish eternally. You can have everlasting life. And I'll give it to you if you'll ask me. But right now you're condemned standing here. Now, notice Nicodemus is just, he's heard, he knows he's confused. He's heard he's condemned, and he's heard the call. But he says, not yet, not yet. And maybe you've been a person in church for a long time. You've heard the call, but not yet. What would people think? Do you know what? That's why I put off salvation. Because I grew up in church, and I thought people laugh at me and make fun of it because, well, you're a phony. We all thought you were saved. I never got up and told everybody I was saved. I just sort of thought I was. But when I knew I wasn't, I was scared to death of what people might think. If Jesus would have been here, I would have called Jesus and said, Jesus, could I talk to you for a minute? Do you have a minute? Can we go to that room right there? I would have found a place away from everybody so I could ask him, how do you get to heaven? That's what Nicodemus did. And Jesus looked right at him and said, for God so loved the world that he gave me his only begotten son, that whosoever, you, anybody believes, can have eternal life, everlasting life. It's yours. And Nicodemus just, his position prevented him from trusting Christ. Maybe his membership in the Sanhedrin prevented him from trusting Christ. The Jewish people had to be baptized. So, you know, look, all of this. Look what I already am. And Jesus said, whosoever, it's me. You're already condemned. You have no hope. So he heard the call. He heard the condemnation. And I believe he was saved. History sort of states that Nicodemus did get saved. But I want you to notice why the evidence that he got saved. The only piece of evidence we have. He's only mentioned three times in scriptures, three different passages. One here, John 3. One, John 7. And then you'll notice in this passage, if you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to John 19. John 19. Look at the very back of the book of John. John 19. Look with me, if you would, in verse 38. Now, I don't know if you've realized this or not, but after this, does anybody know whose tomb Jesus was buried in? Does anybody know? Say it louder. Joseph of Arimathea. He's a rich man. He's carved out his own tomb. And notice, if you would, in verse 38, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. So now you understand he's trusted Christ as Savior, but it's just like those people in China. They're saved, or those people in Afghanistan. They're trying to stand to the radar so they're not murdered for it. And so, you know, it's one thing to be a Christian. It's another thing to stand up and let everybody know, expecting to die. It's wisdom to say, we're going to have our church underground. And that may be the case here. We have to have in America one day. It's not yet, thankfully. But it was in this day. He was meeting secretly because of the fear of the Jews, notice, and besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Look, could I have his body? And notice why. And Pilate gave him leave. And he came there and took the body of Jesus. In verse 38, verse 39, and there came also, here it is, Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh, aloes, about 100 pound weight. So they both got together. Nicodemus helped to bury and prepare the body of Jesus Christ for burial. Now, if you remember, Mary did the same thing. She broke her alabaster box and anointed the body of Jesus. And Jesus specifically said, what she's done, I want told all over the world, because she prepared my body for burial, for death. And so she was a Christian. It says Joseph of Arimathea was a Christian. So I am sure that between the first day of chapter 3 of John and now chapter 19 of John, someplace in there, Nicodemus trusted Christ as Savior. I said, okay, Lord, I give up. I know you're the Messiah. It could have been at the foot of the cross. But it was some point in time he made up his mind, that's the Messiah, and I'm going to trust him to take me to heaven. For whosoever shall call for the name of the Lord, I'm going to trust him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, it was Jesus. And whosoever believeth in him, I'm going to put my trust in him. Lord, I want to put my trust in you. And he was saved on his way to heaven. Now, I want to take just a minute. Maybe you're here today, it's not crystal clear. You might have some question about other things in your life. How long am I going to have my job? What's going to happen when I have this health test? But you cannot have any question about your soul's destiny. It's too important. It's more important than anything in this world that you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Because if you miss that, you've lost everything. You've missed heaven. You'll never be with Jesus Christ. You'll stand before the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20 with no hope and be cast into the eternal lake of fire. But Jesus Christ died to prevent that. But you must be born again. Physical birth, April 7th, January 3rd, 41, 61, 91, and then when's the second birth? Now, I don't think you have to know the exact date when you trusted Christ as your Savior. But I do think if you've truly trusted Christ as Savior, you would have some recollection of memory. I don't know if I was 9 years old or 12 years old. I don't know where it was, but I remember that little building, or I remember I was at camp, or I remember I was by my mom's bedtime. You may have a very clear memory, and it's clear as to what date it was. I got saved 54 years ago, June the 18th, but I had to go back and think of it. I had to go back and say, no, and I took a calendar and said it was a Sunday. I know it was a Sunday, and I know it was the third Sunday of the month. And so which one was? So I went back on the calendar and found out it was June 18th. I didn't remember the date either. That's the only reason I know it now. You may not remember the date. It's not important. But there ought to be a crystal clear time in your heart and mind when you went and you knelt at the foot of the cross, in essence, and you said, Lord Jesus, I need you to be my Savior. Now, since that point in time, you've been scripturally baptized. You've become a part of a local church like this one. And you're serving the Lord. That is what Jesus said. You must be born again to Nicodemus. He said it so clearly because Nicodemus was a religious leader and he was confused. And he was condemned. And Jesus wanted to give him a clear call. That's the reason John 3:16 was given to Nicodemus. And then it took him a little bit of time because we don't know how long it was between then and now, between chapter 3 and chapter 7. We don't know how long that was. But Nicodemus still hadn't figured it out because whenever they said he was born, check and see, he was not born in Bethlehem, he was born in Galilee. And he had no answer. But I want you to notice the last part Jesus told him. Look over in John chapter 19. The challenge. I want you to see the challenge he gave to him. John chapter 3. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 19. This is the condemnation that light is coming to the world. That's reason the whole world's condemned because light's coming. Jesus Christ has come. And men love darkness rather than light. They didn't put their faith and trust in Christ because their deeds are evil. They'd rather do the wrong thing than the right thing and trust me as Savior. So then notice what he says. He gives a classic story between light and darkness, between doing what's right and not as a child of God. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So he's talking to him and he said, look, when you're saved, you're going to want to come to the light because you're proud of your life. The Lord Jesus is saying that, look, doesn't that make sense to you? Nicodemus, if you've got heaven assured, don't you want to live what's right and live close to me? Look in verse number 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. You come to Jesus Christ. That's the reason why a Christian that knows the Lord as Savior and is trying to do what's right and is willing to say, Lord Jesus, look at all my deeds. He's going to come to church because that's one of the commands of the Lord. He's going to be faithful to church. He's going to give because he loves the Lord. Let me ask you this question. How many of you men are married in this room? Married. Okay, keep it up. Raise it up. I see some of you like this. Come on, praise it up, guys. Okay, let me ask this question. How many of you give to your wife lots of money? No, okay, all right, good. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it, Rick. Now, I'll give you my card for counseling after church, okay, all right? But he raises his hand right up. I give lots of money. I do. Okay? Now, you know what? Because you love that person. You want to be close to them. I don't mind giving my money. I don't mind it at all. And Jesus says, when you are a Christian, you're going to come to the light because you're proud of your deeds. No one that's living right is ashamed of their deeds. And so notice what he says. But he that, verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. I don't mind you seeing what I've been doing, Lord, that they are wrought in God. I want to make sure people know that I'm trying to do what's right for the Lord's sake. Are we doing that? Are you trying to do what's right because of the Lord? Same context, he tells Nicodemus. Now, why was this important? Because the Pharisees did their works to be seen of men. He said, I want you to be seen of God. So Jesus even addressed the way you live to Nicodemus. You'll notice that Jesus said in his condemnation of the Pharisees, this was one of those guys. He said, you wear scripture on your head, you stand on the street corners and you pray so everybody can see to be seen of men. Look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 6. Notice with me, if you would, Matthew chapter 6, very quickly. Matthew chapter 6. Notice with me, if you would. Matthew chapter 6. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. He said, when you're saved, you're going to come to the Lord because you want him to see your works, that they're wrought because of him, in him. Notice in verse 2, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you'll notice he says, look, I want you to, look what he says in verse number 6. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. So get before the Lord and say, Lord, I'll let you reward me openly. I'll let you brag on me. Now, one chapter back, Matthew chapter 5, and notice this, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. Now, all of this is referenced, keep in mind, to Nicodemus, because he's a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin. And they told people, look what we're doing. Look at the scripture on my forehead. Look at the scripture on my robe. I'm a great Christian. And Jesus has addressed it and said, if you're really doing what's right, you're willing to come before you come coming close to me, because I'm the light and I'm going to reveal what you're doing is wrought for me. It's done for me. Today, are you doing your works for him? Are you giving your money for him? That's the reason why I've been here 33 years almost. And I haven't preached an entire sermon yet from start to finish on tithing. You want to know why? Because everybody says preachers are just interested in the money. I'm interested in you living right. I'm interested in having the joy of the Lord in your heart. And when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, just like when you fall in love with your wife, they get your money. So you give, and I give because I love the Lord. I don't care if anybody else knows that I give to the Lord, because I give it because I love him. I want to raise it every year because, Lord, I want you to know I love you. I want him to be pleased with me. And that's why you come to church. That's why I come to church. I don't come to church because I'm the preacher. I grieve every time I'm sick and can't come to church. I'll never forget. Now, I don't think some people believe that. I got sick on Super Bowl night, the last time the Cowboys were in the Super Bowl and won. And I remember everybody saying, yeah. I was throwing up, sick. I mean, I was throwing up, going and looking in the TV and just getting sick again. And, of course, I didn't do a video to prove it. But he knew I'd rather be in church. The Lord says, if you're really truly born again, you're willing to come to the light and say, Lord, look at my life. Are you willing to do that? Is your speech always with grace? Lord, look at the way I talk. Look at the way I talk to my boss, to my family, to my neighbors, to my coworkers. One day, a poor elderly lady with a basket in hand sought a personal audience with President Lincoln in his private office. "What can I do for you, ma'am?" asked the president, endeavoring to make her feel at ease in his presence. She's nervous. "Mr. President," she said, "I don't want anything from you. I've not come to seek favors for myself or others. I've come to bring you this basket of cookies because I heard you like cookies very much." Mr. Lincoln's eyes filled with tears as he said, "My good woman, you are the first to call on me, not seeking some personal favor or some favor for someone else. Your kindness and thoughtfulness move me deeply." Now, why did he say this? "May your heavenly Father richly reward you." Why did he say that? Because pretty well, only Christians do what's right because it is right. Only Christians do what's right because they're seeking the approval of a higher being, our Savior. That your works are wrought in God. Today, have we learned the lesson of Nicodemus? Have you taken up the challenge of the challenge to Nicodemus? Let your works be wrought in God so that you're proud to see Him. You know, he said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, made it real clear. He said, do what's right because when you see the Lord, you don't want to be ashamed. He's trying to get us to understand. Nicodemus, you need to be saved. I know you're confused and I know you're condemned, but I'm calling you to trust me as Savior. And Nicodemus, I'm trying to challenge you. Don't live like the Pharisees. Do what is right because you're trying to please me. Today, are your works wrought in God? It's a choice we all have to make. Lord, I did this for you. And immediately the president said, may your heavenly Father. Why did he say that? Only Christians. Today, how are your works? Are they wrought in the Lord? Are you doing them for his sake or to get something in return? Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. I'm so challenged and convicted by the challenge to Nicodemus. It covers the whole gamut. It's the greatest challenge in Scripture. It's to all of us. If you're not saved, you're living in condemnation, trust Christ as Savior this morning. You can trust Christ this morning. Or is it crystal clear that you're on your way to heaven? And maybe you're here today and I could get you to say, Pastor, my works are not completely wrought in the Lord. I have a bad attitude sometimes. I say the wrong word sometimes. Why don't you come to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to help me that my works are because and for you. Folks, it should be, as we live, people say, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord God of heaven bless you. Because they can tell we're Christians. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts this morning. Use your precious word to draw our attention to you. In your name we pray. Amen.